First things first is you have to control the narrative for your brand. PR is just organized truth. People are no longer competing just off of the name to go speak. It's like, okay, now you have something to bring to the table.
You wrote for Huffington Post, you wrote for Success, you wrote for Entrepreneur.
It was scary because I got banned and there was a lot of people doing reporting on me. So anybody that's ever done anything in their life and in their business, if you just organize it the correct way, you can get in a lot of these doors. For me at that point in time, it was my age. So they let me write one of them and the content was good. They accepted it. After that, I used that article that I published on entrepreneur.com. I went to the Huffington Post and I said, hey, I write for Entrepreneur. I'd love to write here. And then I'd go to the Huffington Post and I'd say, hey, I'd go to success.com next. And it's just, once you start doing it for one big level person, they'll make an introduction as long as you do a good job to another person and another person and another person. It just becomes kind of like this snowball effect.
Welcome to the show, Ulysses.
Thank you, dude. I appreciate you having me.
So awesome. I mean, it's been a... I think we met back in what, 2020?
It was a while back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My old business partner, Neil Patel, connected me. I saw his face on your website.
Yeah.
And I was looking for some press. I was looking to build a little bit more of the personal brand. I was Googling some stuff and I came across you and I was like, hey, I know that guy. So I reached out to Neil and Neil's like, oh, yeah, I'll connect you. And I think he connected us for the first time and we had a conversation and you said something to me. And I think it's your personal quote. If you can control what someone sees about you, you can control what they think about you.
Yeah.
Did I get that right?
That's 100% right. Yep. Yeah. And it was good because like Neil is one of those guys that like got me into everything. So, you know, whenever he makes an introduction, like it's just a game changer, you know, because like who would have thought? So when I knew him, I was like back in my high school years. So now being an entrepreneur and like anytime I get an introduction from Neil, it's like it's just a huge thing for me, you know? I don't know if you know this, but I actually sold him I'm kind of a big deal.com.
Did you like really?
That. Yeah. So he had that LLC for a while, right? But he didn't have the website. He didn't need the website. But he was like, hey, you know, you should go ahead and like try to get it for me because if I try to do it, they're going to charge him a lot because it's Neil, right? But I mean, I was in high school. They're not going to charge me that much. So he bought it for me for like $5,000. And I bought it for like, I don't know, $500, $1,000.
So I used to write checks to I'm kind of a big deal LLC when we were partners.
Yeah,
I used to, that's who I would pay his cut of our deal. And I used to always joke and I'd say, when are we going to get the airplane where it says, I'm kind of a big deal on the bottom of the airplane?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, hopefully soon, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thank you for coming on. It's so awesome to have you in studio. As I think we talked about off air, the whole premise of the show is success formula that, you know, I believe success is formulaic and successful people have a formula that they use again and again. And I've gotten to the privilege of getting to know you and watching you use your own formula for success to really disrupt a very competitive landscape. I mean, your company, Influencer Press, I mean, not only have you built your own personal brand, but you build others all over the place.
Right, right.
You get media. You help everyone get that message really into the marketplace. You've launched your own podcast. You're now a father.
Yeah.
So I want to open with you actually telling me what are your, if have you spent time thinking about, and if you have, what are your success principles?
So I definitely believe that there's a sequence of things of how they should be done, but this is more tactical and like just the PR side. If I was to talk about just very generalistic stuff, it's like, not general, but like in my day to day of what I actually have to do. Number one, like I was telling them outside is like my Fridays are for me to kind of just eat a nice steak, smoke a nice cigar, get a massage, like do things that I love, you know, that if I can get done, then it'll help me kind of wind down during the day. If I don't do that, then I'll notice I'm always like, my mind is just constantly business, 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 and I'm all constantly in that mode. But that hurts, you know, my relationship if I'm constantly there. So I do that to wind down. And then after that, I'm with my partner, I'm with my daughter. And it's just, you know, being a new father is phenomenal. You know?
Yeah.
It's just a love that you really can't explain until you become one and then you see them smile all of a sudden, right? They just love you for being who you are. You did nothing and it's just the best feeling in the world.
So that makes sense on the personal level, but at the professional level, I mean, when you launched Influencer Press, that was your first foray in entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
And you didn't say, I'm going to start, I mean, you basically built a PR firm and your goal was to get influential people a lot of press.
Right.
And I mean, when you go to your website, influencerpress.com, The list of clients that you've had and have is extremely impressive.
Thank you.
So you don't just walk in. I mean, it's not like you just show up one day and that just happens.
Right, right. Yeah. So the way that I first started out is I was very blessed because when back in the day before I started Influence Press, I was semi-interning for like Neil Patel, a mutual friend. And I would just do random shit, you know, but I was like so happy to do it because he was like he's my idol basically, right? And because I was doing that, it was easier for me to get an in to these publications. And back in the day, there were very few people that were actually writing for these publications like there are now. Like now there's so many people doing it. But back in the day, that was kind of uncommon. So they gave somebody like me a chance. They invited me to go write. And I first wrote for Entrepreneur, then Success.com, then Huffington Post, things like that. And someone told me, he's like, you can make easier money introducing people, being a connector, than you can be doing website design. So I didn't believe him at first. I gave it a shot with my first client. I said, you know, hey, pay me $2,000 and I'll make you an introduction to an editor at Entrepreneur. And he paid me. That was the easiest $2,000 I ever made.
Who was your first client?
His name's Patrick, and I don't know his last name.
Okay.
Patrick Clark Kelly, one of those.
Yeah.
And it was like 5 minutes of work. You know, he paid the invoice right away, $2,000. I've never made $2,000 before. A couple $100 I would have made, you know, doing website design. And I literally just introduced him to an editor. The editor wrote about him, and I didn't do any work except for making the connection.
And having the relationship with the editor.
Right.
So that's the work. You did a lot of the early work.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but other than that, like I realized that, look, this is a big kind of industry for people that have a lot of money and also that are really big. So at first when I was doing it, it was because of the money for sure. But then I started getting into like, you know, high level connections and places and, you know, people like yourself. And like, for example, active client right now is like Brandon Dawson. So, you know, Cardone Ventures, like these guys. Believe it or not, don't have press. Like, you know, some of these guys are just so successful. He sold the company for $151 million. No press whatsoever, right? Like, Ed Milette, when we worked with him, he had very little press. And I, you know, when my sales guys closed him, we didn't know how big Ed Milette was when we took him on as a client. And then all of a sudden, you start doing these interviews and you're like, you know, you've done what? It's like insane, you know? And once you start doing it for one big level person, they'll make an introduction as long as you do a good job to another person and another person and another person. It just becomes kind of like this snowball effect, you know?
It's really the power of relationships.
Which you do a tremendous job of. Yep.
Well, I believe it's my superpower. It's what I focus my effort on. But I also think it's extremely important in success. I mean, to your point, you can go and do a ton of work and build a website and website design. Or you can make an introduction to someone who knows you, trusts you, and is willing to move on something that you have said and make $2,000 in 5 minutes.
Yep.
You've earned the right to do that. And right. You've done that because you've demonstrated accountability, credibility, and validation in everything you've done with that editor beforehand. Like you say it took 5 minutes, but it's really not, right? Yeah. How long had you known that editor?
Oh, for like 4 or 5 months.
and what had you done for that editor, right?
Like, yeah.
What had you demonstrated? You wrote good content.
Yep.
You brought them serious people. And they trusted the fact that if you make the introduction, it's somebody credible.
That's true. Yep.
So I would just say, you know, for you, it was more than 5 minutes.
Yeah, yeah. It's just looking back at it, you know, like things happen so fast, but it's true. Like, you know, I have to, because they don't have to accept any introduction I make, you know. They're doing it as a favor to me.
Mm-hmm.
So I also have to make sure that I'm not abusing that power, right? Like, for example, if even for this, if I'm like, Jeff, you know, I think this guy's amazing, would love to for him to be on your show. If I'm constantly doing that and doing nothing else, you say it best. It's like, it's draining. You know, you're not going to answer my next call, my next text, you know? So you have to really, you can't abuse your relationships.
So how do you view press? A lot of people want it.
Yeah.
And a lot of people say there's no such thing as bad press.
Right, right. There definitely is bad press. That's for sure. But the way that I view it is like the same way that press can be very bad. And we can take a look at, you know, people like Donald Trump, where it's swayed really onto one side. Andrew Tate or people like that. Alex Jones, right? The media portray these people as one thing and one thing only. And if it can do that, right, for them, then for somebody else that maybe isn't as big and maybe not as hated, what can it do for their brand? So if you do it correctly, you can really kind of sway the public opinion about you. And that's kind of where my quote comes into play. And then everything else becomes a lot easier. You experience like this red carpet effect. You know, when movie stars go to red carpets and they get a ton of pictures and people hand them water and, you know, they're just, people are so nice to you, right? So I want my clients and I want myself to live a life that has the red carpet effect.
So you used to do, I think when I first met you, you were renting houses, high-end houses.
Oh, yeah, yeah, but I didn't rent them. So I got them for free.
Okay, even better.
Yeah, yeah,
Explain to me what that was.
So, you know, back in pre-COVID, I did a lot of masterminds. And normally you have to pay, you know, thousands to rent like multi-million dollar homes. But with the press stuff, we would essentially do barters with these locations. And we do this now at a higher level with like speaking on stage. But, you know, I lived in a $10 million mansion for free for 30 days. And they were going to extend it to 60. I was able to live like in multiple locations without really paying. And that's because I would offer them press, you know. In a $10 million house, if we got press for a $10 million house, it's only going to attract their types of buyers. So it's a very much beneficial mutual relationship there that I was kind of getting with these, you know, locations. I would throw a mastermind. I'd charge $3,000 to $5,000. You know, 15 people would come, and we didn't have to pay for the chef. We didn't have to pay for the exotic cars there. We didn't have to pay for the house there. Everything was essentially free and profit, except for obviously the time and labor for, you know, things like that. But yeah, it was a good time pre-COVID.
Sure, I remember. I think when I first met you, you were just moved into your new $10 million house.
Yeah.
Out of your previous $10 million house.
Yeah.
And you were in Beverly Hills at the time.
Yep.
And you're like, yeah, I just moving into this new house, and you showed me pictures, and I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, I pay nothing for it.
Yep.
I'm like, well, that's a pretty good model.
Yeah, it was working for a bit. We haven't done it in a while because now that we have a kid, like we want to stay where family's at. But yeah, now we do it with stages. So, you know, stages, they want more eyeballs. They want to sell more seats. So we'll tell them like, hey, if you get a client, you know, to speak at your event, we'll get press for all of the event, for all the event or all the speakers or the event organizer. So they can choose essentially.
Yep.
And then they'll say yes or no. And most of the time they'll say yes if it's a big enough client and they get, you know, recognition for it. Because people are no longer competing just off of the name to go speak. It's like, okay, now you have something to bring to the table.
Well, and you brushed over earlier that you wrote for Huffington Post, you wrote for Success, you wrote for Entrepreneur, which enabled you to have the platform to get this press.
Yeah.
That's not so easy to just be able to be a contributor for these major publications. I mean, you had to break into this world somehow.
Right, right.
Yeah. How did you do it? And what was the process? Because I'm assuming you didn't just call and say, yeah, hey, I'm Ulysses. I want to write for you, Entrepreneur. And they're like, oh, sure, yeah, just send us an article.
Right, right. So because I was like interning with Neil at the time, he had a lot of these connections. And what I did was I would use Neil's name to my advantage. So I'd say like, you know, for example, back in that time, I did the website for like ForrestGump.com. So which is, you know, if anybody's seen the movie's phenomenal, right?
Yeah, great movie.
So I would use that as like my ammo. Anything that I was doing with Neil Patel, I think I was like 17, 18 when I was like interning. So I'd say like, hey, I'm working with Neil Patel. I'm interning. I'm doing X, X, and X. I'd love to write about the topic. Or I did the website for ForrestGump.com at this age. I'd love to write about the topic. And I just kind of came with like some strong ammo and a unique angle. If that didn't work, what really worked at the time was interviewing high-level people. So I would interview, for example, I know this kid back in the day, he was like 17. He interviewed Mark Cuban, right? No publication is really going to say no to an interview with Mark Cuban because even for them, it's kind of hard to get. So whenever you come to these publications, you have to have something that's newsworthy, that's unique, and then also has like that spin on it. For me at that point in time, it was my age. So they let me write one of them and the content was good. They accepted it. After that, I used that article that I published on entrepreneur.com. I went to the Huffington Post and I said, hey, I write for Entrepreneur. I'd love to write here. And then I'd go to the Huffington Post and I'd say, hey, I'd go to, you know, success.com next. And it's just, you know, just zigzagging each and leveraging each thing. But the thing that got me there first was definitely Neil, using Neil's name.
So what Ulysses is actually talking about, it's something I wrote in my book and it's something I talk about in my LinkedIn course. It's called the bug light concept. And it is a phenomenal way to utilize relationship capital to accelerate yourself. Because to your point, if I do an interview or I'm working with Mark Cuban, everyone wants Mark Cuban. Yeah. They may not know Jeff Fenster yet. They may not have any idea what I do or why I'm doing it. But when I bring Mark Cuban, I can use the power of Mark Cuban to give myself that opportunity. If done effectively, you don't burn any relationships and you really can promote yourself. And that's what you did with Neil Patel.
Right.
I did the same thing with Neil Patel. When we were partnering with our digital marketing agency, I'm phenomenal at sales and I knew nothing about digital marketing. So I was able to use Neil Patel's name to get us into any company I wanted to.
Yep.
Because I would simply say, hey, this is Jeff. I'm Neil Patel's partner. We do digital marketing. We're going to come in and do a free audit for you and let you know how you can make more money online. How does that sound?
Sounds great. Sign me up.
Right? They let us walk in. Then I got to do what I'm great at, sales. Neil got to do what he was great at, marketing. And together we closed tons of accounts and made tons of money and helped tons of businesses all through the Bug Light concept. So I'm so glad you mentioned that, because if you're sitting on the sideline right now and you're like, hey, you know, I don't know how to do it. You may know somebody influential. And if you don't, you can intern for someone influential and use that same concept. And I think that is such a great success principle that we can all use to elevate ourselves and take the elevator instead of the stairs as we're trying to break in.
Yeah. Damn, did you say it so well?
Yeah, well, I wrote about it.
yeah, that's true.
But no, I think it's so critical. I mean, I've used it again and again. I actually learned the tactic from David Meltzer. David Meltzer did it with Warren Moon when they had Sports One Marketing. And so he spun up Sports One Marketing off of Warren Moon, and he taught me the Bug Light concept.
Yeah.
And then he eventually built his own brand, which is now David Meltzer brand, but that's how he used to get into all these different opportunities around the Super Bowl and around marketing. You know, they took products and services and marketed them with sporting events. And to your point, I was like, hey, Warren Moon. Well, yeah, they want to work with Warren Moon. And all you need in life is that door to open.
Yep.
Once we get the door open, then you get to shine and show your skills.
Exactly. And without that, it just becomes a little bit harder because people don't give you the time of day, you know? And I had that in the beginning where I knew I could perform, but they don't know you. They don't care about you. They don't think you can. So it doesn't matter, right? Mm-hmm. And it's just, life just becomes a little bit harder, you know, more harder than it needs to be.
Being that influencer press, someone reaches out to you, you take them on as a client, they're probably going to get a little more famous. They're going to get a little more attention. How important is it that the client, let's say, you know, Mr. or Mrs. Smith who calls you up, how important is it that they are crystal clear on their mission, on their values, on what they want the press to be? Because I think what we've seen in a lot of people who've had that 15 minutes of fame, they don't always, it doesn't always end the way they wanted it to.
Right. They have to, that's probably like core number one, because you can do a lot of press and you can, you know, come on shows and things like that. But if you really don't know what your end goal is, then you just have a lot of press and that's it. And what happens is it just becomes like this placeholder, like this trophy and just an ego booster. Like, oh yeah, I've been on this show. I've been on Forbes. I've been on Inc. And that's it, you know, and then everybody will just remember it as that. And it just kind of dies. So if you know your core mission or what you're trying to accomplish, then it's a lot easier to kind of attack that, you know, from all different angles. But without it, it's just, you know, you're on a ship that's going nowhere.
So how has press changed post-COVID and now that everyone is, I mean, it used to be, first time I got interviewed for Entrepreneur, I was like, oh my God, interview for
Huge
Entrepreneur.
Deal. Yeah.
Now it's like, Entrepreneur. No offense, Entrepreneur, but it became that.
It did. And it did because a lot of these places, so like before they started allowing people to pay to write there, there was a lot of pay to play that was happening. And that's actually how I got banned from a lot of those publications like a long time ago.
Wait, how did you get banned?
So I got banned because I was doing things incorrectly. And incorrectly basically means this: you can't pay writers, you can't bribe them, and you can't bring them gifts. So if you were a journalist and I came here with a gift for you, automatically I'd get banned, which is kind of stupid. But hey, the rules are the rules, right?
Sure.
And I was naive at the time. And to me, I'm like, dude, it's a win-win situation. Client pays me $5,000. I pay the writer $2,000. I keep $3,000. He gets his article. We all win. You know, where's the issue?
Yeah, your arbitrage makes sense.
Yeah. The issue is it's biased. You know, you just got paid $3,000. You're going to make him look really good, right? And that's not journalism. So, I mean, I agree.
How old were you when you got banned?
I was like, 17, 18 probably.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, you were young. You didn't know better.
I got a slap on the wrist, which is, you know, thank God. But it was scary because I got banned and there was a lot of people doing reporting on me. So, and I don't know how true this part is, but one of the reporters said that the FTC or SE, one of those, was like looking into me at the time. And I'm like, what the hell? Like, I'm just a kid that just came out of college. Like, I'm just trying to, you know, do well. But yeah, so I did lose a lot of my connections at that time, and I had to rebuild everything back up. And obviously, clients didn't want to work with me for the rep that I had. So it took me about 6 months of doing everything correctly to kind of get a client again and do everything the correct way. Now, obviously, here we are. But I was very lucky that nothing else happened, because they definitely gave me a slap on the wrist.
Hey, fitness fans, ready to crush your fitness goals? Make your move to EOS Fitness, where becoming a member starts at just $9.99 a month. Gyms are open 24/7 and packed with the latest gym equipment to keep your workouts fresh. What are you waiting for? Give them a call, drop by, or hit up jefffenster.com/EOS to join. EOS Fitness, better gym, better price. Now, let's get after those goals.
Yeah. So, I'm sorry, and I pivoted on you. So, the PR world, though, it has definitely changed.
Yeah.
From, I mean, back when I first met you to today, I mean, everyone has a podcast now. There's a ton of them.
Yeah.
The opportunities for media are, it's more available, but they're less meaningful. They're less impactful. There's obviously, you know, you go on the Joe Rogan show, it's a major win.
Right. Yeah. So, I think now it's all about sequence and how you use it. So, there's a lot of things that, you know, people do. Everybody, it's almost as if everybody has the tangibles already. People have the podcast. People have spoken on a couple of stages. People have gotten the articles. But that's it. Like, that's the only thing that's, which is what I'm grateful for, because it's become so saturated that you really have to have a skill now to kind of stand out, right? To make it meaningful. So, like, now we use it as a marketing channel. Very rarely is PR seen as a marketing channel. It's seen as, like, a branding thing, not an ROI thing. But now, if you do it correctly, if you do it in sequence, if you actually have systems in place, you can generate revenue from you know, stuff, doing stuff like this, from getting an article placement. But it has become saturated, because I feel like so many people are selling placements. You know, people get so many DMs about that. And then what else? Oh, and then the publications are also charging. So you can go to Forbes Councils, you can go to Entrepreneur Leadership Network, you can go to, like, Rolling Stone Culture Council, Fast Company Execs. All of these places, they're basically licenses with these publications, and you can pay to write there. So, like, Forbes Councils, I think it's like 3,000 some. I know Entrepreneur Leadership Network is 3,000 a year. So
so what you're saying is I could pay them $3,000 and then I get to write for Entrepreneur.
Yep.
You can, and then write, I get to say I write for Entrepreneur.
Exactly.
So I'm paying to have that title.
Yep, which kind of lowers the credibility now, right? Same thing that's happening with Meta, right? Back in the day, Instagram verification and all that was, like, super powerful. Everybody wanted it. And then now it's $12 a month, yep. You know? So it's like you have to really, which I like, because you now actually have to have a skill. You actually now have to be credible. You can't just play on the same field as everybody else by buying your way into that, right?
Well, you can for $12, right?
Yes, you can buy into that, but now, because everybody can, now the new level is something else.
Yes.
You know?
Yes.
So, which is good.
The cream will rise.
Yeah.
Well, so in that same vanity, you mentioned sequence.
Yeah.
What is the right sequence?
Great question. So I'm going to get a little bit, like, nerdy.
Please.
Okay.
I'm sure a lot of our listeners are sitting here going, I'm trying to get press for my brand. I'm trying to get press. Some people want it for them, their personal brand, but right. Some people want it for their company.
Right.
You know, I remember when I started my very first company, iChecks, I couldn't figure out this was before Instagram and Facebook was, I mean, I don't even think Facebook was even 2007. So was Facebook small then? I don't even remember.
Yeah.
I couldn't figure out for the life of me to get anyone to write an article. And I mean, it was local, like the Union Tribune of San Diego. Please write an article on my payroll business.
Yeah. Well, dude, now you have a ton of press in San Diego.
It's grown.
Yeah.
It's grown. But
a lot.
But for those listening, like, what would be that sequence? Like, how would they do it? What is the right approach? How do we do it properly in 2023?
Yeah. First things first is you have to control the narrative for your brand. So the easiest way to do that is to start off with either, small blogs or small publications. Because, you know, when you do that, you can control the headline, the body of the article, the image, everything. And when you do that, you want to basically control, like, any objections that you would normally get, or how you want to be perceived, or things like that. If you can get anywhere from 5 to 10 of those in the beginning, that's going to make your life a lot easier. Because we learned this back in the day when we unfortunately did press for a fraud. And I can tell a little bit about the story. We thought this kid had sold a company for $100 million. He was 21 years old. The reason why we didn't vet him correctly is because he showed me a check that he was going to give my business $3 million. So I'm like, okay, say less. I will help you, you know?
Influencer press, two S's at the end.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we didn't vet him correctly. And when we tried to get him pressed initially, they said, where's your proof? Right? Where's your proof? So we had to come up with a different way to manufacture proof. So what we did is we got a lot of these small blogs stating exactly that he sold the company for $100 million. So now when we went back, everywhere they looked, because if you can rank for your name with that, it's only going to reinforce the same idea that a company is coming out to you with a story that a kid sold his company for $100 million. Everywhere you look, it says the same thing. There's no reason to, like, vet it, right? So once you do that, so, and that's unethically, but once you do it correctly for your business, then you can go to like bigger podcasts. You can say, hey, you know, I did this for my business. I did this. PR is just organized truth. So anybody that's ever done anything in their life and in their business, if you just organize it the correct way, you can get it, you can get in a lot of these doors.
PR is organized truth. I've never heard it said like that.
Yeah. Because, you know, most of the time you're trying to amplify things, but you have to do it correctly.
Yeah.
Because not everything is newsworthy.
Sure. Right? Well, most things aren't.
Yeah, most things are not newsworthy, right? But yeah, once you do that, you have that initial ammo and what I call like the pillar pieces, then you can go to these big level shows because they're going to ask for, you know, again, references or anything like that. Well, you have that. You know, you can go to these big publications and you have these references. But the key here is you created those references, right? You articulated exactly what you wanted that person to see about you, which then can only mean one thing, right? If they have a bullshit meter, which they are, well, you have 9 other pieces that say the exact same thing. Well, that bullshit meter is going to go down, right? So you just kind of have to, you have to do certain things in a sequence and, you know, zigzag your way up.
So that first sequence, getting those small publications.
Yeah.
Someone's listening. They have their company. They're trying to get some press for it. What's the one or two things that you would recommend that they do right now so they can start getting that? Because it's hard to go from zero. It's chicken and egg. Like it takes a few to get a few, but you need to get those first few.
Right, right. So I'll say one thing really quickly before I'll tell you exactly where. One of the things that you should look at in these pillar articles is what are common objections that you normally get. So, you know, the best salespeople know their objections by heart. You know, they know exactly what's going to come up on the call. They know exactly how to talk their way through it or whatever.
And even more, I'll say this is what I made a fortune doing this, is I would address the objection before you do.
Right.
And I'm sure you're going to think this, 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 and this. And then I would answer it. And you've taken the steam out of the objection long before you ever got it.
Exactly. 100%. And that's what you're doing with these articles. You're saying, hey, I know I'm going to get these objections. So if I can eliminate them, not by saying them, but by having a third party credible site say them, then I'm already one step ahead, right?
Right.
So think about things that usually give you a door that, you know, that's just kind of hard to open. And once you kind of identify those, then you should go after some of these places. And I'll tell you some of these places that you can go on. Thrive Global is one of them. Super, Ariana Huffington is the founder of that. There's other places like Disrupt. There's other places like Medium. There's plenty of sites that are free to use that you can start there, right?
Free to use meaning I can go write a feature on Everbowl if I want to?
Exactly. And I have to pay a dime.
And they'll post it?
Yep.
So now at least I have some media.
Exactly. Yep, you can do that on Medium, and I'm pretty sure you can do that on Thrive Global. It's just free. And if you want, I can come up with a list and then, you know, have...
I would love it, and we can share it, because cool. I think a lot of our audience is college age, and we also have a lot of aspiring entrepreneurs and business leaders that are struggling because they're great at what they do, but the media, the press side, that's a hard roadblock.
Yeah, yeah.
I struggled with it for years. So I can only imagine. Yes, if we can provide that resource, I think it'd be great for the community.
We'll do that.
Yeah. So now we have some. And I mean, influencer press, you guys are obviously, you're not for everybody.
Right.
There's a certain level of business or entrepreneur.
Yeah.
What is that level?
So minimum 7 figures, just in terms of revenue, just because of the our pricing.
Is that because it's a Ferrari pricing or because to get the press that you guys are going to provide requires that kind of level of success already?
Yes, both. One, it's easier for business. Many people think if you charge a premium, you can deliver premium services. If you have low margins, it's very difficult to kind of provide like a premium service because you don't have stuff to play with, you know? So so both. We want to make sure that number one, they have success. And usually if you're a 7-figure business, you have success. And then number two, we want to make sure that we can charge enough to be able to give you enough. Because if I'm only charging you, maybe like $500 or so, I can only get you the free stuff in order to make a margin, right? Because I still have to have client fulfillment. I still have to have sales that I have to give, you know, portion to. I still have to do finances, taxes, right? So if you don't price things correctly, which at first we were struggling a lot with business model, then you're kind of screwed.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure. So you, and then in addition to influencer press and helping others, I mean, you've done this remarkably well for yourself. I mean, you speak on stages and I've seen you individually, your personal brand explode.
Thank you.
So you're actually doing the same steps for yourself.
Right.
And in turn, you're using that for top of funnel for influencer press.
Yes.
Am I saying that right?
Yeah, you are. Yeah. I just came back. We were in Vegas. I had no idea you were going to be at that show.
A couple of days ago, I was being interviewed on a show, and I'm about to go in, and who walks in to be interviewed right after me? Ulysses. So we got to say what's up in Vegas a couple of days ago.
Yep. What we show our clients, I do myself. Like, I was there for a podcast tour. I did Sean Kelly's. I did a few more. I did TV while I was there. Like in San Diego, like right before this, I did TV. So it's important to again, do stuff in sequence and then also do it for yourself. Because if I'm not doing it for myself, then why would clients want to do it for themselves? Yep. Some people don't think it's powerful, but it really is.
And how would you say your brand, Ulysses, and Influencer Press have grown? Have they grown together? Or has it been one of them kind of taking the lead and then the other one following and catching up?
It was definitely me leading and then the business next, because what I noticed was whenever you start working with high-level people, they refer you, but because they referred you, you are now the person that they look to for updates or for things like that, right? So, but in order to grow a business, you can't have that. Like, I can't be the client fulfillment person, right, for everybody. So I had to, like, you know, kind of pick that back up and systemize things and make sure that I have a team. And, you know, thank God we have like 16 people now. We have client fulfillment people and all that good stuff, which is great. But I always had to like bring it with me because people want to work with just me. It's great. It's phenomenal. But there's a downside to that. I'm capped, number one. And number two, I just can't. Like, I don't have enough time in the day to do it.
Sure. You know?
So I have to systemize the thing in a way to get results for everybody, even the high-level guys.
And how do you value actual paid press releases that are launched on the wire? Do you recommend companies write their own press release and pay to put them on the wire?
Only if you're buying a company, you're exiting a company, or if you have an announcement. Anything else, I wouldn't do that. But I do recommend paying for, you can pay for slots on TV, and you can pay for things like NASDAQ. You can pay for things like that. I do recommend that.
Like NASDAQ is in?
Like being interviewed on NASDAQ, mm-hmm. Or getting the NASDAQ
billboard.
Yep, things like that.
But you don't recommend, for example, Everbowl opens a new store in Tucson. Should I do a press release today?
Yes, because that's an opening. That's an announcement.
Okay. Yeah. What about Everbowl hires new president?
100%, yes.
So yeah. What would be an example of a press release I shouldn't do?
This guy, like, for example, like Everbowl is so great at what they do. Like something like that.
Like, right? Our bowls taste great?
Exactly.
Should I do the Mentadent? 4 out of 5 customers agree Everbowl's the best acai bowl?
But you do it in a way you understand media. So you understand, like, that's an announcement, right? It's like if you have an opening, or if you say, this is an announcement where these people are rating Everbowl as 4 out of 5, right? That's very much still an announcement. But what people will do is try to say, like, oh, yeah, buy my X course or whatever because so many people are getting great results. That's not something you should put out.
That's more of an advertisement.
Yeah, exactly. And people can tell through that. So really only exits, announcements, like you hire a new president or whatever, that's an announcement. Go ahead, put it there. Anything else other than that, I wouldn't say, you know, I'm not a fan.
So as a client, say we come to hire Influencer Press.
Yeah.
Do you make the world know that we're a client? Or do some of your clients say, hey, we want you to be hidden in the background? Yeah. We don't want anyone to know you did all this amazing work for us.
Yeah, unfortunately. You know, some clients, we would love to put out case studies,
sure.
But they want everything to show like it's organic, you know? And then other people don't care, and other people like that we're their agencies, so they want people to know.
But isn't it organic, the work you're doing anyway? It's like having our own media team.
Yeah.
It's just Influencer Press.
Exactly. But, you know, when people see that, they see it as like, well, you're still paying to get the result, you know? And to me, I'm okay with that. Like, you pay Facebook, you know, when you do Facebook ads, you pay to get the customer.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the difference, you know? But some people just, they just want to make it seem like they did it all themselves, which I'm okay with. You know, I don't care.
Does it actually change anyone's perspective?
Not mine.
No, but I mean, have you seen from the customer side?
Yeah. It does.
It does?
Yeah. If it's a product, yeah.
Yeah. So if Everbowl hired Influencer Press, we wouldn't want the world to know Influencer Press was driving it for us?
Unless it's a little bit different because you're a public figure, right? You're a lot of the people that are my clients are probably friends. So it's like, yeah, it would work well in that situation because I'd be like, hey, I have Jeff, you know, can we get him on your show or whatever? But for somebody that probably isn't in that space but has a product, they don't care about that, this side of it. So yeah, they'd be like, no, like we just want, you know,
yeah,
we just want the company.
So what was the impetus for you launching your own podcast? Because you recently launched The Blacklist. I was fortunately enough to be a guest.
Yours
was
good.
Oh, thank you. It was fun being on there. And you actually produce out of Blue Wire Studio in The Win, which was the inspiration for our own studio. It's a badass studio in the lobby of The Win. And it's a cool network.
Yeah.
What was the impetus for you to launch that show?
I was interviewing a couple of people from like Netflix. So I'm not too sure if you watch Selling Sunset, but they're basically like a real estate show. And I like
they're investors of Everbull.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Tarek is, and his wife are, well, Tarek is our main investor, but his wife is involved as well.
Nice, nice. Yeah. Well, I interviewed Jason and I was like, you know, I'd love to start working with people from Netflix, celebrities, or, you know, what can I do to get into the, like, those circles? I saw Blue Wire. I saw Casey Adams was, you know, recording there. And at the time, he was only one of five business podcasts that, you know, are hosted on Blue Wire. Blue Wire is basically like a sports thing. So they do boxing. They do all sports. And usually people need to have a support system. Like, they need to have an audience and they need to have a podcast to get in. But because of my relationship capital, I was able to get in without a podcast ever, you know, made. So
take a note of that. That's exactly the power of relationship capital. Most people need this, but because of the relationship, fast track, don't need it.
Yep. And then now that I have it, like, it's so much easier to get, like, Neil Patel, you know, he's in Vegas. I just quick text, I'm like, hey, can I have you on the show?
I think
you
he know? Came in right after, I didn't know he was filming right after
that,
me on
I
your
did
episode.
On
did you?
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm leaving the episode, and in the green room, there's Neil.
Yep. So, yeah, like, relationships are so important, you know, because if not, I would have never gotten in.
Sure.
Never. And that's a beautiful studio.
As an entrepreneur, I know how meaningful it is to invest in the people and causes that are close to me. And on GoFundMe, it's easy, safe, and powerful to do just that. Whether you're supporting a family member, friend, local business, or charity. And whenever you make a donation, you're protected by the GoFundMe Giving Guarantee. Visit GoFundMe.com today to help make a positive difference in your community.
So, okay, so you're launching The Blacklist.
Yeah.
So the impetus was to get into Netflix. We derailed. You were going to Netflix. You want to get the celebrities.
Yeah, and that's one of the ways to, you know, kind of do it. Like, celebrities are not going to come to, like, a C-list show, you know. They want to go to the big stuff. Yep. So that's, for people that don't know, The Win invested $6 million into that studio. So it's, like, it's phenomenal. So when I'm speaking to these people, and I kind of, like, initially wanted to do that, completely forgot, and now I just, you know, interview a ton of entrepreneurs. But when they see the studio, I get contacted to go to be interviewed, right?
Yep.
For them to want to be interviewed. So it just makes my job easier. I can connect with higher level people, which then in turn they know about me. They might want to hire us. If they don't, that's okay. But I start getting into these higher level networks. And for anybody that's ever realized this, people in your space, like, they usually hang around in the same circle. Dan hangs around with the same people. You hang around with the same people. And it's usually a lot of people at the top. In order to kind of get there, you have to be kind of invited, you know, or you have to be someone of, like, that public figure status. So getting something like that will just kind of propel me a little bit more that way, right?
I mean, it's true. It might be subconscious, but I get asked to be on a lot of shows. For me to travel to go,
yeah, it's hard.
If I've never heard of the show and I don't know the person, I'm more likely to not want to do it. And I'm struggling with that now that I have my own show and I'm requiring everyone to come here.
Yeah.
I'm not going to do a Zoom.
Yeah.
And so I'm feeling it like as I'm trying to get, like, I'm trying to get Shaq to come on the show.
Yeah.
Will he do a Zoom? Yes. Can I come to him? Sure. But to get him to come here?
Yeah.
You need to have something.
Exactly.
And that's kind of why when I left your studio, I brought Eric from our COO and I said, hey, we need our studio to be like this.
Yeah. And it's you did it. He said he did it in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
You guys move fast.
Well, we have WeBuild. So WeBuild builds everything. So yeah, we built the studio. I mean, the thing that took us the longest was the soundproof door and the soundproof windows.
Yeah. Well, dude, this is the shit, dude.
Well, it's, you know, thank you, Blue Wire, for the inspiration. I mean, the goal, the beauty of everything, it's like doing something better than everyone else is not hard when you use everyone else. I mean, we all, if we're not learning from each other and trying to one-up each other and force each other to grow and improve, I mean, Brad Lee's studio and Blue Wire was, okay, that's the floor. We need to meet or beat those two studios.
Yeah.
And funny enough, I was just in Vegas at Brad's studio, and Brad says, I want to redo my studio. And so he's coming out here in a couple of weeks, and Weeble's going to hopefully redo his studio because it's a little older.
Yeah.
He's got to up his game.
Yeah.
Sorry, Brad. We're challenging you now. Do better than this one.
He's had it for years.
I know.
You know?
It was so cool the first time I went on his show. Oh, and yeah. I was like,
There was like no other studio in town like that.
Nothing.
Like it. Not even at the Wynn. His was the place.
Yes.
Yeah.
And he didn't open it to everybody.
Nope.
Just his Lightspeed clients.
Yeah.
Which was it's just a great top of funnel thing to do.
Oh, yeah. When I went, if anybody that's ever gone to Bradley's show, when you go, he tries to sell you on Lightspeed.
Oh,
you know?
I bought Lightspeed.
Yeah, exactly.
Fun fact, I bought Lightspeed in 2019, I think. It was there in 2019.
Yeah.
We're just implementing it now. I've been paying for it and I haven't used it yet.
Barely.
He closed us, but all good salespeople get sold by good salespeople.
Yeah. Oh, he's great.
He's great.
Yeah.
He's great. He closed. I mean, it's such a good product.
Yeah.
The problem for us was we then had to implement the product and we just got so busy.
Right.
So we just kept paying for it and paying for it and paying for it and paying for it. I just saw him and he's like, are you going to finally do it? I'm like, yeah, now we're going to finally do it.
Yeah.
He's great.
Yeah.
So who was the best person you've ever interviewed?
Man, you're putting me on
and
the spot.
And by best, dude. I don't mean like
Jeff.
Like,
yeah, Jeff Ensler, for sure.
No, seriously. Who's your, let's go, not best. Who was somebody that you pinched yourself? Like, you're like, I can't believe I got to interview this person.
The only person I was ever nervous when he went to the studio was Neil.
Really?
Yeah. It's because it's just that full circle moment, you know? Like, you get to see someone. He saw me at my lowest. I had no money, nothing. And he was such a nice dude. You know, he didn't have to do half the things that he did for me. And I showed him, like, I created books out of his blogs. Because he wrote blogs, like, every freaking day.
Yes.
He still does.
Quick Sprout.
Yeah. And so... I didn't have time to read them all. So what I did is like I would copy and paste each and every single blog. I put it into a book. So I would just read books. And I have books from 2019 to 2017, all that stuff. And I showed him. And I was so nervous on that call because I'm like, sometimes it's hard to connect with people that are just at such a higher level than you. But it was a really good show.
Well, he's genuinely one of the best human beings.
Yeah.
I mean, I met him cold through a friend. Pat Flynn introduced us.
Nice.
And he became my partner. You know, he let me build a business around his brand and use him as a bug light. He didn't have to. He was already so successful. He didn't need me, but I obviously showed some value.
Yeah.
Just such a great human. I mean, fortunately, he introduced me to you years ago. I mean, look at what has happened as a result. So if you don't follow Neil, you definitely need to.
Yeah.
He's also co-founded some of the most disruptive, incredible technology SaaS products out there. Neil Patel Digital, if you need digital marketing, highly recommend. He speaks on stages. He's not cheap, but if you reach out, I'm sure maybe he'll do it. So Neil was the one, huh?
Yeah, I actually tried to get him to speak at my event last year.
Yeah,
We had him or we had that real estate guy.
There's only one of those guys.
Josh Altman or something like that.
Okay.
Anyways, it didn't happen. But yeah, Neil's such a good dude.
Yeah, he really is. So what's next for you? Now that you have Influencer Press growing,
yeah.
Blacklist is killing it.
Yeah.
What's the next venture for Ulysses?
I want to exit. Not now, but do you know Chris and Jen? Chris and
yeah,
and,
yeah. Of course. Jen Gottlieb?
Yep.
Yeah.
So
and Chris Winfield?
Yep. Good people too. They're
great
really good friends
people.
With Neil.
Actually, I'll give you something fun. So they're friends of mine. They're in New York. They sold their company.
Yep.
And I'm talking with Jen, 6 months ago. We're just having a phone call. It was not 6 months ago. It was 4 months ago because they were in Mexico just before New Year's and I was down in Mexico and we were going to actually hang out. And I was saying to her, like, I think I said something like, yeah, you know, we're really launching WeBuild now. I need to get some press for it. And she's like, oh, I got to introduce you to the best person in the world. I'm like, who's that? She's like, you got to talk to Ulysses Osuna. I was like, I know Ulysses.
Yeah, yeah.
So she was trying to refer me to talk to you and I was just asking her to give me some tips for WeBuild.
Yep. No, I know. They're phenomenal people, man.
They are.
I look up to Chris a lot because he has connections that I wish I had, you know? And one day I'll get there, but like I want to get to that point where they sold, because they sold for, I mean, I don't know the exact amount, but they sold for 8 figures.
Yep.
You know, so I want to get to that point where I'm just like, you know, a New York City type firm and just, you know, exits and has a big exit. And who knows? I don't know what I want to do.
They're referring you now. Because yep. They're out of the business. They can't do it. They're referring you.
Yeah. They sent me a lot of clients.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
So that's cool. So the plan is to exit when?
I'm hoping in like 3 to 5 years.
Yeah. So what do you, so with your success formula and the things that you've used to be successful, what are you doing today to set that and make that a reality?
Changing, well, a lot of it is like right now we're doing a lot of thinking time. So I know that sounds cliche, but when you dedicate like 45 minutes to 2 hours to just think, it dramatically propels you forward. And most of the time, a lot of business owners are just stuck in the weeds and they're delegating, they're doing this, but they're constantly on the go. And when you're doing that, there really isn't time to look at your business from a 30,000 foot view. So you don't know what you don't know. You don't know what you have to like, you know, test out and do. So we're trying to do thinking time every single week for 45 minutes to 2 hours. That way we can plan things. Sometimes the business model sucks, right? Like I remember before, the lifetime value of our client was like $10,000. Now it's $100,000. Some clients stay with us for three to five years, you know? So it's just thinking of little tweaks that you can make or new hires that you need to make, new people that you need to put so they can delegate or whatever. But without really giving yourself time to think, it's very hard to kind of move up.
But so thinking, giving myself time to think. So thinking, I mean, that's very broad.
Yeah.
How are you narrowing that down?
We have a list of questions that we try to tackle. We try to tackle like one to two questions only. So I have a list of questions. It'll say like, okay, if you had an extra $300,000 in the business, where would you spend it so you can grow? Another thing is like, okay, if you had a 10x your revenue in the next 6 to whatever months, what would you do now? So it's very much questions that like, questions that you probably can't get the answer to right away. Like it takes me about 45 minutes. That's why I leave the minimum at 45 because shit doesn't really pop up in your head until like, I don't know, can I cuss?
Go ahead.
Okay. It doesn't really pop up in your head until like 45 minutes after, you know? So that's where the good stuff kind of comes into play. So yeah, thinking is definitely broad, but like you want to give yourself obviously a GPS of like where you want to go and what you want to hit. And obviously it just becomes easier, right?
So what do you do once you have that? So I spend 2 hours or an hour and a half. We have our questions. We do some thinking and I have a few ahas.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yep.
Some days I'm sure you don't.
Right.
But yeah. Let's say I have an aha. Mm-hmm. What's next?
Then you execute it as quickly as possible and you figure out if it works or not.
Taking immediate decisive action.
Immediate action, yeah. And you'll know if it works or not, or if you have to make some tweaks. You know, for example, like right now we're trying to scale Google Ads. So we'll hire different companies. You know, we just spent 3 months with one company that we didn't get really results for. Okay, got to cut it off. Spent 3 months, didn't work, hire somebody else.
So I want to hone in on that because to me that's so important in the path to success. So many companies try something.
Yeah.
It didn't work. 3 months, all that money down the drain. So guess what? Google Ads isn't for my business. What if it's not true?
Yep.
What if it's, no, that company just didn't understand the value proposition and how to articulate your message on Google Ads, but this other company can.
And that's exactly what it is. Because it's not that thing doesn't work. It's that either that company couldn't do it or you did something incorrectly or, you know, or maybe you need to go with somebody else that has a better track record in your specific niche. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely not that thing doesn't work because obviously it works for so many people.
Right. So it's about Kaizen-ing it, getting 1% better every day and working towards the results you want.
I like that. Yeah.
Yes. So last thing, if you don't mind sharing with the audience. So they learned a lot and this was great. There's a lot of tactics that they can take from this.
Yeah.
They're unsure maybe on exactly how they're going to break in, but they have some smaller publications that they can, you know, go and write for, get that initial bit going.
Yeah.
And I think you said, and I don't want to butcher it because it was so brilliant, but said press is organized truth.
Yes.
Do you have a worksheet or something that you do with when you onboard a client to help organize their truth for them so they can rattle it off?
Yeah, there's a few things. And do I look at the camera?
Sure.
All right. So there's a few things that you can do. Number one, you have to take a look at if you were going to make your life easier and out of everything that you've ever done, what will give you an in? Because sometimes people want to lead with something, but it's not what's going to get them the in. So you have to think about that for yourself. Number two, how can you control the narrative? So once you know exactly what that thing is, it's going to make your life easier and get you into all these doors. Number two is how can I position it in a way where it's a no-brainer for everybody else? And then number three is basically now figuring out the outlets and stuff like that you kind of want to go for. But the first two, the most important, again, press is all about making your life easier. So that way you can experience the red carpet effect and do stuff like this.
How many tattoos do you have?
Too many.
Too many?
Yeah, to the point where like my parents are like, you can't get any more.
Do you draw them yourself?
No. I wish. Yeah.
Okay. Well, Ulysses, man, thank you so much for coming on. As always, it's always fun to hang out with you. It's great to see you. I learned a lot from you. I'm watching you. I'm implementing things on the side. If you don't have a firm, I recommend you reach out to Ulysses and Influencer Press. I can validate everything they do is on the up and up. He works with some of my friends. He's great. I work with him. I would continue to work with him. I recommend you do as well. And dude, thank you. Thank you for coming on.
I appreciate it.
Hey everyone. First, I want to thank all of you for tuning in. And if you guys haven't heard about my new book, Relationship Bank Account, click the link in the show notes or search the title on Amazon. This book is packed with all my secrets to success in both relationships and life. Make sure to pick up a copy, and if the book helps you on your journey, let us know by leaving a review. I appreciate all of you and can't wait to see you on the next one.